When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, have you ever been to Skate City?
In Sixes area?
No, okay, it's the exact same thing. Because my wife was like, hey, I want to take the kids to Skate City.
And I was depends on where it's at.
Okay, well, I was like, we're not going. She's like, no, we want one in Littleton. I was like, all right, yeah. I'll check it out, right?
Maybe, like, where in Littleton? You know, like, Ken Carr Littleton or, like...
It was like, we're
like
Littleton.
Like Dartmouth and Santa Fe Littleton.
We're Littleton. We're getting close to that area, right?
Yeah, like next to the train tracks?
It's right next to... It's actually close to that golf course off Santa Fe. So, we're getting there.
Hit or miss.
We're getting there. So, she's like, do you want to go? I'm like, sure. I'm not... First of all, I'm not letting you guys go without me. I'll just put it that way. So, we go to Skate City, and it was right after we got off of work, and I was trashed. And I'm like, I'll just sit back or whatever. And just watch.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I know where this is going.
So then,
I heard about this.
So then she gets there and she's like, are you gonna get skates? I'm like, yeah, of course I'm gonna get some skates, right? I haven't been skating in a long time. And I think it's
the four wheel skate.
Okay, so I saw some rollerblades and I was a blader. I don't wanna brag.
Yeah, okay. Well, you inline hockey champ or what?
I don't wanna brag, but yeah, I was a skater. So I asked for the inline skates, and they're like, yeah, we don't have any more. And I'm like, oh, fuck, okay, I guess I'll take your...
I don't know how to brake on the front of my... I only know how to brake on the back.
Well, it was all different. So anyways, my kid gets this little, like, PVC triangle thing where, like, they'll hold on to it while it's got rollerblade wheels on it.
Yeah, I used to make fun of kids when I was young for that, but...
Okay, well, he's four, so you can be an asshole.
No, it wasn't him. I think you were using that.
Okay. So we get out there, and he's never done it before.
Okay.
And this place is packed, dude. Like, it was...
Wall to wall, just going in a circle.
Going in a circle.
Yeah.
And I was, like, nervous. So he's in front of me, I'm behind him. And all my whole job is to, like, basically be, like, a blocking for these nerds who are there by themselves. They're adults, like, 40s, 50s, and they have headphones on, and they're just, like, cruising around.
Not even, like, earbuds. It's like the headphones we're wearing right now.
Exactly. In exactly right. And, like, I was like, what are you doing on a Friday night?
Ooh, Friday. Even worse.
Trust me, dude. I don't make these plans, okay? I never would have picked a Friday night to take a two-year-old and a four-year-old first time skating. But whatever. It worked.
The disco ball going and everything?
There was no disco ball, but definitely had the vibe of... I actually went on my very first date to a roller rink.
Okay.
Her name was Celine. And we went in my
Dion?
Mom's... Yeah, Celine Dion. We went in... my mom's station wagon with the seat that faced reverse.
Dude, so check this out. What car was that? So it came up the other day. There was a Ford. It was a Ford station wagon in Arvada. Pristine, dude.
Why are you looking up?
Well, it just popped up on wagon. Marketplace. You know me in Marketplace. You know, you search for Ford Broncos, and then it brings up all kinds of
cars. Oh, yeah. No, I was doing Ford
Broncos. Yeah, I'm looking for a fucking banana boat station wagon. Like, get out of here.
This had the wood paneling.
Like,
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, yeah. Go on.
Okay.
I'll find it.
So, anyways. this is not something I'm proud of, okay? But this little kid kept getting real close to my son. Every time he'd come around, he'd, like, zip right in front of him.
You're watching him.
I'm watching him. I'm eyeing him. I'm like, okay, he's coming around again. I'm going to let him know that this is a no-go zone. And I gave him just a little forearm shiver. Just a little. Just to kind of let him know.
How old was he?
I'm probably about 14 years old.
All right.
And again, I'm not proud of it, but I would do it again. And
just a nudge, that's it.
Just a little, hey, maybe over here is not the best thing to do.
And what, how did he react to that?
He looked back at me like, you little mother, you prick. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. I can barely skate. I have my little son in front of me and like, you ain't going to hit him.
You're like all of a sudden go Cobra Kai on him on your skates.
Dude, so I'm on my way to this roller rink and I was like, I'm thinking, hey, Skate City, right? I've never had to fight on roller skates before, but not tonight might be the night.
Just pull the shirt over the head.
Mighty Duck style.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, maybe if I find it, but it was, it might have sold. It was a hot item, but it had the, you know, the back door opened and then it had seats side by side, you know, like, you know. I remember riding in one of those when I was younger.
Yeah, it was a pretty sweet ride. Yeah, yeah,
I can't remember.
The door opened like this way, not.
It wasn't like a hat or anything.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, did he get knocked over?
Finn?
No, the other guy.
No, I knocked him. I got him off balance.
So, how many times did he run into him?
I bet you that was like on his third pass where I was like, you're clearly gunning. You want to like scare him a little bit. That's the vibe I got.
Oh.
And I just wasn't having it.
What did Finn say?
Finn was locked in, dude.
All right.
I'll show you this video.
Okay.
It was awesome. He's digging it, man.
Locked in.
He's locked in.
You use that too?
For my first lap, I did. I was quote unquote helping him, but I was really holding on to it myself. Yeah. I got the gist of it.
Okay.
Got the gist of it. It was also a reminder that your kids do not care that you're tired or you're sore.
Oh, man.
Or, you know, like, they just don't care. You got to turn it on. Like, I got to that place, and I was like, I am so done for the day. Recovering from the Grand, we had a brutal day at the academy, and I get there, and my son's like, let's go. I'm like, okay. I guess this is what we're doing. And, yeah, man, it was like a nice reminder of, like, nobody cares, man.
Yeah, they don't.
Lace up.
Lace up.
Lace up. Time to go.
Skate City.
But it was fun, man. I had a pretty good time. I probably wouldn't go on a Friday night again. But anyways, it was like, it was very strange to see these older men that didn't have kids with them at this roller rink.
I'd say that's somewhat strange, but I'm not going to judge.
Gave me some pause. That's all. Yeah.
Think about it. So, you went on a hike. Talk to me about this little hike you went on.
I love the fact that you just can't admit that it was anything other than that.
Oh, I can admit. It's way more than that.
So we got back from the Grand last Friday. I'd never been to the Grand Canyon before. You know, you on paper, like, oh, it's 44 miles, which compared to Leadville is obviously not that much. So, like, I didn't really prepare that well for this. Part of me just wanted to see, like, hey, the way that I'm training, is it
enough?
Is it enough, right? Is it enough to just go and get after it? So, I fly into Phoenix super early. I think I landed at, like, 7 a.m. And I'm starving. So I look up, like, coffee shop, you know, outside of the airport.
I don't know why you did that, because...
Okay. So, I know you gave me...
Coffee Cartel.
I wanted to get out of the airport. That's where I was at. So, I got my rental car. Trust me.
I don't want to be around people.
So, I go to this place... And as I'm driving there, I'm like, this is a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Like, you are going into a neighborhood that is not in line with your standards, okay? Hashtag standard. So I'm pull up, I give my order, and like 2 seconds later, my breakfast sandwich is ready.
Oof.
And this is not a place where you would expect that type of service. So I start eating it, and I'm like, dude, this is not smart. This is bad. And I was right. So by the time I got to Flagstaff, my stomach was in bad shape. So I got the old Gotst Fregus, as they call it, in the streets.
I mean, you got nobody to blame for yourself.
Yep, you're right. It was a bad choice.
I
Murp, murp. Dream deferred. So I'm in a pretty rough spot. And by the time I get to, by the way, Flagstaff, underrated. That place was awesome.
Yeah. What? So this is April, right?
Yep.
So 80s in Phoenix?
70s? Yeah, 80s. 70s.
Flag's probably like 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing well. So the whole group gets together at an Airbnb to have dinner, and I'm like, I can't go. Like, I'm so jacked up. I'm just staying in my hotel room. And I'm like, I got to try and keep some water in.
I feel like this same thing happened in Leadville. Of course, you were 50 miles in, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of... I got weak stomach?
I got weak guts, man. So I try my damnedest to get hydrated, and we were going to get up at 2 a.m., and be at the trailhead at 3. So I wake up, kind of do my normal morning routine. My stomach's not great, but not terrible. And we meet in the hotel lobby, get some coffee. Morning's going great. It's probably 40-ish degrees outside. And we knew that...
Any wind?
It's
calm.
No wind yet, but we had gusts of 40 coming later in the day. So,
but then by that time, what was the temperature?
It was 85 inside in the base of the canyon. So we start probably like we're a mile and a half from the trailhead, which felt like bullshit, right? Because those miles don't really count. I counted them, but they don't really count. So we get to the trailhead and we start our descent, and you can only see what the beam of your headlamp will show you. So I didn't know how treacherous the like basically right off the trail was. And everyone was like, don't bomb down, like save your legs. What do? I bomb down. So it's probably a like 6 or 7 mile trail down to the base. And we stopped like halfway, kind of reconvened. There was like 7 of us, myself, guy from Montana, and then the rest were all Illinois firefighters. Shout out to Arlington Heights. Those guys were all amazing. We stop for, I don't know, 5 minutes, get some food, kind of talk about our plan for the rest of the day. And the stars were like nothing I've ever seen. It was so cool, man.
Cooler than like being just in the mountains at night?
Yeah, for some reason, like I'd never seen the Milky Way galaxy before. And like you could see that. We saw the moon rise. It was pretty special. So we bombed down, me and another guy get to the base a little bit before everybody else. And you're right next to the river. You can't really see anything, but you can hear it. And from there, we kind of split up where the three of us, Ross, this other gentleman, myself, we wanted to get as many miles in because it's relatively flat in the base before you start the climb of the North Rim. And there's plenty of water. No problems there so far. And feeling pretty good. Probably doing like 11-minute miles. And then you get to the base of the North Rim. And I'm starting to, like, feel my depletion from the night before. And so Ross and this other guy start heading up. And there's one more water stop before you start your hike to the North Rim. And so we fill up. One thing I wasn't used to, because at Leadville you had pacers, you had aid stations. You didn't have to carry all your stuff. You have to carry all your stuff for this time, all the food that you're going to have. And then... for water, you can fill up in the base. So by the time I get like halfway up the North Rim, I run out of water. And I'm like, this is kind of early for this to happen. So I have a filter water bottle and I'm trying to like pack it with everything I can. Snow, like there's some water dripping from the rocks and I'm drinking it and I see all this stuff floating inside the water bottle. I'm like, man, I really hope this filter works because if not, I'm gonna be in bad shape. Yeah. So I get to the top and switch out my stuff. I had a sat phone. I texted my wife just to let her know. And I start on my way down and I fall. And my knee, like my right knee, felt probably like a 7 out of 10 pain. And I'm like, oh no. Like, this is going to be...
How'd you fall?
It was to about 2 feet of snow on the North Rim. And so, your legs are kind of shaky by that point anyways.
So you're hiking through that, like, at the on the north side? Do you have stuff? Did you need snowshoes or anything like that?
No, it wasn't that. It was for the most part hard packed.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have brought anything else. So I'm coming down, I fall, right knee starts to hurt. And once I get out of the snow, pretty much every step is like 7-ish out of 10. But when I'm not moving, it doesn't hurt. So I really come down really damn slow. And as you're coming down, there's these huge rock falls. And so you have to like scramble over these rocks. And if one of the rocks goes, it's probably like 4,000 feet, just like straight down. So it was way sketchier than I thought it was going to be. Then eventually I get to the base where that water station's at. Cause I've been out of water now for probably like 3 hours. And that's a big deal when you're doing these events. So I get down, I refill with my water, kind of take a break. And I'm like, you know what? Let's see how bad this feels if I can run on this thing. Like, it can only feel so bad. So I start running and this pain just like pretty much goes away. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was just a descent thing. And so I'm making up great time on the way back and the wind's picked up, but it's at my back. It's like pretty much perfect conditions. And so I get to a place called Phantom Ranch, which is like campground. And they have like this general store there that has food and lemonade, cold brew and all this stuff. Totally didn't bring my wallet. So I was thinking about like begging for money.
Give me your address. I'll send you. I'm sure they get that a ton,
though. I'm sure they do. I just was like, whatever. I'm not going to deal with it. So I fill up there and then I get to the base of the climb out. And I'm like, I need to sit here. I need to rehydrate. And I'm going to take a swim in the Colorado, which was kind of like a bucket list thing for me. So I do it was a cold plunge, dude. It was freezing in there. But I think.
And running water, you know, like.
Yeah, you know. It was no joke. And it was like it was like chocolate milk. It was like that. It was not clean. So I get out of there and refill all my water. I'm feeling pretty good. And then I start my hike out. And it's about 6,000 feet of elevation-ish from the base to the top. And I get about a quarter of the way up, and I run out of food. And I'm like, this is not great. But, I mean, there's no option. There's no, like...
Your quickest way is to just
finish. Just go, right? Yeah. Like, so I start motoring. I'm probably 4 miles from the top. And so you're going at like, I was probably doing a half hour ish, a mile, maybe a little bit faster. So it was slow.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm out of water. And I'm like, I just got to get to where the fat tourists are. Cause then I know I'm like close to the top. Cause you know, they're not coming down that far.
Man.
Because there are certain parts of it where I'd go like, I don't know, 5 minutes and then have to like lean over my poles to just like get my mm-hmm. bearings. And I start to feel like the darkness come in where like you start questioning every decision you've ever. This is the whole point why you go out there,
mm-hmm.
is to like strip you down. And this, I don't know, this girl, she's probably like 14 years old with her mom. And they pass me, and I'm like, I hope my daughter's that strong one day. And I just start bawling, like just bawling and thinking like I'm going to die before my kids and they're going to live this life without me. Like this is what goes through your head when you're this deep into this shit. And so I go over and I like hide behind this rock off to the side so no one sees me. And I'm just like letting it rip. And then I see like these two eagles circling with the Grand Canyon and sunset in the back. And it was like, it was a like religious experience. And so I get back up and I start walking. I get real close to the top and I see Ross and this other guy who I was running with. And they're there like huddled in blankets because it's fucking freezing at this point.
What time of day?
5.
The sun's about to go down.
And at all these other races, there's like a big finish line, like people clapping and all this other stuff.
You're just like, no one gives a shit.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody knows, which is kind of the cool part about this. And so then we get to the top and we wait. And now it's starting to get darker. Our friends aren't here yet. And now it's getting a little bit later. It's getting a little bit later. And we're getting close to the point where we're like, we might have to call somebody to say like, hey, we got guys in the canyon that, you know I ran out of water hours ago. They probably did the same. There's no way they have any food left. And I think we were probably a half hour away from maybe calling somebody. And
no way to communicate with them, though?
No. We had sat phones, but me and Ross had them. And cell phone service is so super selfish. Cell phone service is pretty spotty.
Yeah.
But you can see headlamps probably like half mile away. And we started to see headlamps coming up. And they finished. We did like a big group shot. And then...
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. And then I had the worst night's sleep that I think I've had in a really long time.
At the hotel? Back at the hotel?
Yeah.
I bet. Sore and just...
You're just like... Your core body temperature is so high that like you can't cool down. Your body's basically dying.
Nice.
Like, your muscles are eating themselves. You're dehydrated. You're malnourished. I mean, you're in bad shape. And yeah, next morning, woke up, drove back down, went through Sedona. Place is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That would be probably a place you could stop for breakfast, for coffee.
Sedona would be a place that I would stop for breakfast.
But you didn't.
But I didn't, because I'm an idiot. So yeah, that was the grand. We have our plan for next year, I think. We're going to go back to D.C., the race that got away.
It's a cool little hike you went on.
It was a cool little hike. Just a day hike.
Day hike?
Anyone can do it. Yeah. You're fine. Just some sturdy tennis shoes, you know?
Probably what I would do, yeah.
You want to get into some stories?
Yeah, let's do it.
Mexican TV accidentally shows man's testicles during solar eclipse coverage.
You tell me you have this footage, right? Of course. Again, your feed.
I know you've seen this.
I haven't.
Yes, you have, because we sent it on our group text.
Oh, show it to me.
I'm not going to show it. I can't show it here.
I know, but you could show it to me on your phone.
Okay.
You're going to put the link in the show notes?
Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes.
Still photo?
But anyways, it's just a picture of a solar eclipse and then a man's testicles slowly descend into frame. Right over the top.
Seriously?
Yes.
Which group chat?
The old Sixes group chat.
But I haven't got anything from you on that.
Oh, this was a long time ago.
Oh, geez. So yeah. Not this last eclipse, like the one before that.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a while ago. But anyway, so this Mexican TV station finds that clip or uses that clip.
Oh,
probably unbeknownst
nice.
To them.
They're like, oh, here's a video of the eclipse. Some testicles. So the testicles are the what's called.
Yes. Oh,
man. We can't show that?
No? That's not for us? Okay. Absolutely hilarious.
It's not the worst thing that's ever come across TV.
No. And I'm like, what? It's just anatomy, you know?
Yeah, big deal. Big deal.
Big deal. There's not much grosser than the male anatomy. I'll just put it that way. The good Lord didn't do us any favors there. All right. We've talked about this before. We said it was coming. Here it is. Legislators passed bills requiring self-defense training and body armor for FDNY. So we had discussed...
Self-defense training is okay.
Is it, though? Because now, if you mess that up, now you are...
So now you're trained. You're trained to, you know, in, like, takedown tactics and everything. Now you're just treated like a cop, right?
Right. It's coming to everybody now. So then, all right, we are inundated with... Not only EMS training, you got to be a paramedic, fire training, which I think that any department would agree their basic skills are not where they need to be. And now we're going to add self-defense training that you're going to be criminally liable for. I don't like where this is going.
So you can perform searches and seizures? Not those seizures. Not those you're seizures. Not doing medical seizures anymore. You're going to do.
We're responsible for all seizures.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, how long until we're carrying weapons?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be up to the fire service to say no, you know.
Yeah.
Individually, like departments, like chiefs have to stand up and be like, no, we're not doing that.
I mean, the body armor I get, but then are you required to wear that all the time? Like, I wore a vest when I worked for Denver Paramedics, as most people did, because you're without the police a lot. And we did, in like our quote-unquote academy, 2 full days of learning how to fight, basically. And it was very helpful, but the political climate was not
the way same different
then as it is now. And so now departments are going to have to find time to not only train on fire skills, but self-defense. And if it hasn't happened already, it will. You're going to get guys fighting inside the firehouses, quote-unquote training, and they're going to fuck themselves up.
Let me try this new thing.
I mean, how many roughhousing injuries has there been prior to this? And it's only going to get worse, you know? And then
I don't think there's a win to that situation. Other than, I mean, self-defense, it's always nice to have those skills, right?
Oh, but yeah.
Then to say that you've been trained and how to do this stuff. And the whole de-escalation thing is what bugs me.
How do you mean?
Well, we're not medically trained to like handle mental health issues like psychiatrists, or, you know, psychologists or doctors, you know? I mean, what's our background? 6 months of school that had like a week or maybe like a day of talking about, you know, how psychiatric emergencies. Come on.
That and the amount of training that has moved online.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say that that is good training.
And everything in the field is way different than the trainings that you put on that have actors. You know, that's nothing like that.
And also, like, what kind of self-defense are you talking about? Are you talking about jiu-jitsu? Are you talking about kickboxing? Like, what are you... And how often are you going to train?
Yeah, once a year.
And also, if you get on scene and, like right now, if someone wants to fight, we're just leaving. But if you're on scene...
You're trained to take them down.
Exactly.
Like, can you imagine somebody saying that and somebody will?
And so
you're trained to take him down. Violent.
My taxpayer dollars have gone to training you to do this, and now you're leaving? Like, I just...
Maybe you got to pay him a lot more, which they won't, but...
No.
Double the salary.
I don't know if you need to double it. I mean, obviously, I'm in.
Yeah.
But...
I know you need to double it. Kidding me? Double it. Totally justified.
Yeah, I don't like... I don't like where this is going. So this is in line with the previous one. Colorado becomes the second state to ban excited delirium. So... When we would get on scene and you had a individual who was acting erratically, increased internal core temperatures, what the LAPR might call batshit crazy, we would have a medical term of excited delirium. And if they were having an excited delirium event, we could use certain medications, certain protocols.
Based on calls that I've been on in my career, I think it does exist.
100%.
The problem is it was probably used too much, right? Maybe.
Well, there are situations that like are in the gray where this person's acting erratically. Could it be a mental health crisis? Could it be, you know, like when Spice was a big deal?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
If you have a person on the sidewalk who's, in medical terms, going cuckoo bananas, how do you deal with that? Yeah, like which road do you walk down?
Oh, you got to do it, and you got to make that decision like right now.
Yeah, there's no time to. Hey, can I ask you a couple questions? No, there's someone who is butt naked, covered in their own feces, who wants to fight. And okay, now what do we?
Why are they always covered in their own shit?
it's part of the.
Today, I'm gonna fight. But first,
hold on.
I'm gonna shit on myself. Yeah, that'll make me real strong.
My inside power's got to come out.
Yeah. Fucking disgusting, dude.
So they're basically not allowing, the bill prohibits training for law enforcement personnel, emergency medical service providers, and other first responders from including the term excited delirium.
That's a political, I mean, it's just a political response.
Right.
I mean, you're we're still training for really crazy people, right? We just can't use the word excited delirium.
So what are we going to call it? What are we going to call them?
Psychiatric emergency. Okay, whatever. Okay,
but you don't know if it's a psychiatric emergency or they're high on something.
It's political. Stupid.
It's
can I say that?
Well, here's the problem that I don't think, maybe they are thinking about this, but like they're legislating out the people that need the most amount of care, right? These people who have gone bananas, you are going to legislate the ability for us to intervene and help these people because we no longer will be able to do
it. Well, I mean, they could still intervene. It's just, like I said, I think this is just like, feels like just wasted time at the state capitol, you know, just to remove a term. We're going to pass a bill. Like, what? So you said you did something, but you really didn't do anything. You just took words out. What do we still got to treat this, you know?
Right. But at some point, if they keep.
They probably spent weeks on this, Greg, like months.
Do you honestly?
Drafting a bill, how to take excited delirium out and, you know, getting support. And like, how much time is wasted on that? Because it still does exist.
I don't know any Congress people, but I'm assuming that they, you know, they're sitting at their big oak desk.
Somebody's got to write up this 100-page
report. Some intern, they turn to him like, listen, go on ChatGPT, write out 450 pages on how to take this word out and let me know. And then they, you know, like madmen, pour themselves a cocktail, sit back, do nothing.
A lot of wasted time. That's not how it happened, but... It was a lot of people pretending to be busy for weeks, and they could have been probably doing something else, but who knows? I don't know. I'm not a politician.
Power positive.
You know, you can tell I'm not a politician.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
You're not a firefighter anymore either, which is kind of nice.
Why you say that?
It's your chief.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have time to go on little day hikes like you.
Oh, okay. All right. Real cute. The last one was... That radio traffic from the bridge collapse in Baltimore, I thought was pretty interesting.
I got two of them.
Yeah, play the first one, which I assume was whoever was first on scene.
10-4, is there a crew working on the bridge right now? Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. I'm not sure where if there's a crew up there. You might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
213 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Start everybody. The whole bridge just collapsed.
Send the world.
Send the world. I mean, I would say the same thing.
The thing I think is takes away from how kind of spectacular it was is just how easy it went down.
Right.
You know, you're like.
Just kind of fell.
Oh, well, they just, the way it fell, you're like, oh, I just got to get it out of the water and put it back up. But yeah, then when you look at the. You look at the bridge part that's on top of the ship still, and it's got like the road,
yeah,
the asphalt. You know, it's like, oh shit, man. Yeah,
it was. You know, when you're going through the promotional process, or you are an officer, you very often will practice your size ups. You'll drive past a house and just practice it. Never have I would have been like. What is my size up going to be if an entire bridge just goes into the water? And so I think that the initial cat who was given the size up was actually pretty calm.
Yeah.
I mean,
there has to be some sense of urgency too, because you don't want to be like, the bridge is in the water. The whole bridge. So
you also don't want to be like,
we're probably going to need. Probably gonna need everybody.
Yeah, just send send the world and divers. And...
There's a problem over here, but you want some sense of urgency, like fuck, the bridge is in the water, man.
I mean, I think there was a benefit that it didn't happen when a ton of commuters were on there. I mean, obviously it's a tragedy that people lost their lives, but if this would have happened at, you know, 7 a.m., that would have been a much different story.
There's another one from I think the actual police side or whatever, dispatch side.
Hey, communication. Fort Armistead, be advised the entire bridge, the entire key bridge in the harbor. I advised to hold all traffic and committee to the bridge. I advised again, the entire key bridge has fallen into the harbor.
I don't know what she said, but it's kind of funny. Hold all traffic not related to the bridge, and you know somebody.
Medic 502's on scene. Yeah. You're like, fuck you.
What do you need from us? Medic 502's on scene. You need our pram? The fuck?
What's always shocking about that video, I know we're making light of it. It's obviously a tragedy, but when...
Well, no, we're not making light of it. We're just making fun of Medic 502. Being idiots on the radio.
when the boat hit the bridge, it just looked like it was like boop, and yeah, the whole bridge,
yeah,
came,
I know,
down.
Right?
It wasn't like
that's
this
what I'm saying. It's like
magnificent collision.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know, it's not like a building collapse, you know,
right?
Or a huge explosion. It's just, it's very like anticlimactic. You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, there it goes.
And boop.
Yeah.
Good night.
And like, and it just kind of drops in the water.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I don't have anything.
No shit.
No, I'm not reading the news these days. I'm too busy not being a fireman, so.
Yeah, well, someday when you grow up, you can come back to the real world.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.